This is Gardening Related. Welcome. I'm Aunt Rebecca in Oregon.
And this is Elizabeth over in New York. How's it going?
Not bad. It's a cool Memorial Day.
Oh?
As in not hot. Yeah.
What's the weather?
Well, it's in the 60s today, and it's been raining, and we've got like one of the wettest. We have a great wet May. We had the wettest April, and now we've got a wet May, and I'm thrilled about it.
Yeah, Oregon needed the rain. That's great.
Yeah, but my roses have popped, and my peonies are still not popped.
Oh, is water bad for peonies?
No, water's great for peonies. It's just the cool.
Oh,
I thought peonies liked the cool, and the roses needed the heat. What do I know? The roses have decided to pop. Anyway, my knockout roses have popped. But
love those.
Yes. Knockout roses are so easy. You can take a chainsaw to them and, you know, just cut them off with a chainsaw and you're done.
Oh, my God. Well, that's perfect.
So you said you and your mom spent the day in the garden yesterday. What'd you do?
We did. Well, it's been we've been having the opposite kind of weather here because it has been pretty hot. I think it was 75, 78, or 88 and 88. Yeah.
Oh.
Those have been the last 3 days. So it's been hot.
Do you have your air conditioner working?
We do.
Good.
Yeah. Yep. And honestly, I mean, just having the windows open at night and like the cool air coming in.
Yes.
Of course, it's terrible for forests, allergies. But,
yes,
you know, it is what it is. And well, I don't have allergies. So
it's fine.
So it's fine.
Poor Forrest.
I know. He suffers. He's been suffering. I know.
Get him some Flonase. Get him some Flonase, really.
Yeah.
If he, you know, Haunt doesn't like Flonase. It doesn't work for him. But but maybe for Forrest it will. I don't know.
Yeah. I think he does Claritin. Or something.
Claritin's the next best. It's good.
Sponsor us.
Okay. So. What was I going to say? You wanted to know something about clover lawns.
Yes. So with how fast the lawn has been growing with the heat. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
It is insane.
Yes.
So with that, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be nice if we had grass that just grew clover that grew and it provided flowers for bees and it got, you know, maybe 6 inches high max.
Yeah.
And it's pretty and it's soft and it's hardy.
Okay. Clover also travels. It goes, it has a large, long taproot. It's really good for clay because it will break up the clay.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds perfect, right?
Yeah, in a way, except that it's a real hassle to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's really good for bees. And since you're already committed to dandelions...
Yeah,
for the bees.
I am hopelessly.
you're not committed to grass. You know, I don't hear grass and what kind of grass seed should I be planting. I'm hearing, I like dandelions, Aunt Rebecca. And I'm like, okay, then. So clover would be a good match, too, because they both have long tap roots. the problem with clover is that it doesn't stay put. It spreads.
Mm-hmm.
So... For example, if you plant clover within a foot of your vegetable patch, you're going to have clover in your vegetable patch next year.
And I have picked some clover out of my vegetable patch already. So that is fair.
But it's not the end of the world if you catch it early enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so easy to pull out. I feel like it's...
Right now,
you know,
it is.
In a well-watered... irrigated vegetable garden, it just comes right out. They're, you know,
the early ones. But if you've missed one and go, oh, I'll get it next week, you'll be sorry.
Okay.
You can put a border around your vegetable patch that will slow down the clover a bit.
Oh, so what should I do as a border?
Well, you put a plastic, a plastic border around it. They come in rolls. They're about, 4 to 5 inches.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger the border, the better it is.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those. Yes. Yeah. Do you put...
They're not expensive.
This is a silly question, but as I'm picturing it right now, I feel like I've seen them both on the ground flat and then vertically, you know.
Vertically.
Vertically. We're going for, okay. That's
We're going
that's
for vertical. Okay. We're going for dig it in.
Yep.
And some people like to bury it, but that kind of defeats the purpose because the grass then grows right over it, or the clover then grows right over it. So you have to have a lip.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also asked me about hedging around beds.
Yes. So
talk to me about that, because these two coincide.
They do. They definitely do. Yeah. So as I'm, you know, digging in my gardens, and we put a flower garden out front, last week.
Yeah.
And we don't have any borders or hedging around it. It's just dirt and then there is grass.
Yes.
And actually we were a little sloppy with the dirt that we dug out to put the good dirt in. So there is dirt now in the lawn spreading, and that's another thing that is on the list that we need to take care of.
Yes.
So how do I go about that? What materials do you recommend? Do you recommend a brick border or the black border, black plastic border? What are the steps to creating a bed border?
Okay. It's called edging.
Okay.
And edging creates, it creates a frame.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly... You're not looking at this picture of, you know, a three-year-old's thing. You're looking at a work of art.
Mm.
And so edging is very important, especially for the English, you see.
Yes.
But it's kind of hard to get to, and there's many ways to edge. Mm-hmm. There's edging like you can just, the English dig about 6 inches away from their flowers, and they dig down and they cut this ditch.
Huh.
And then every little bit, they come back and clean up the ditch. I don't call that edging. I call that hell. Because it's just too damn much work.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work. And then water is going to collect in the ditch. And I guess that's good for the roots that can travel down. But, oh my God, clearing that out every spring, summer, autumn, fall, winter. Ooh.
Every other week would be more like it, because grass grows. Yeah. So I don't know how they do it. And I would have to talk to an Englishman, and I will eventually, about how they do that. But for right now, what I would recommend is that you, in fact, dig that ditch.
Mm-hmm.
With the bad soil that you've dug up from the ditch, you put on a tarp.
Yes, that is what to do.
Never let the bad soil go anywhere you don't want it. It's like weed seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bad soil is hard to pick up and take care of.
Yeah.
It spreads. It's got seeds. It's a headache and a half. Plus, it makes your lawn lumpy.
Yeah.
And then it's an ankle twister. And then it's hard as nails. And then it's horrible. Put it on a tarp. Okay?
Yep.
And Elizabeth, you need several tarps.
Yes, many. I'm seeing that now.
Yes, you don't need just one for that. You need several, because that's how I weed now. I don't weed into a bucket. I weed into a tarp that I, like Marley's ghost with the chains, I drag with me into the garden, you know, and then I can drag it out to the driveway, and Haunt can drag it someplace else. And if it's too heavy, he can hook the truck to the tarp. The tarp to the truck, and drive it over to the burn pile.
So you
put that tarp on there,
mm-hmm.
and because you don't have a driveway to put it onto, it's just your little lawn.
Yeah.
You make sure that the tarp doesn't get too heavy for you and for us to move before you move it, and you put it back in the compost pile.
Mm-hmm.
And and make sure that it's kind of broken up in time.
Yep.
So, and then you throw some other scraps on it. And before long, it's not bad weeds and bad soil. It's yummy soil and compost.
Yep. And we'll eat it next year. We'll use that dirt.
Yes.
And we'll eat it next year.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then what you do with that ditch then is that you become very familiar and you put your black plastic up against it. Oh, I meant to tell you, you need a straight edged shovel, usually flat on the bottom.
Okay.
Because you're going to be digging a trench, kind of.
Right. Does it have a point at the end, or no. it's totally it's, flat? Okay, I
it's
have one
flat,
of those.
But it like has a sharp. It's it, but the end is sharp, sharp Got enough it. To cut through that grass.
Right. Okay. Well, that's doable.
Then you put the black plastic up against where you've just dug. So you've already got one side of your ditch. Then you put good soil on the other side and you plant it.
Okay. That makes sense. And, you know,
if you don't want to plant it, you could put gravel on the other side to hold it in place. Mm-hmm. And that means that the grass doesn't have any dirt to go into afterwards.
Oh, okay. So I would like cut the grass in a straight line on the bed of my garden.
Where you want your border.
Where I want the border. Mm-hmm. And then lay stone.
You could lay gravel. You could lay
gravel
stone.
Or stone or something else.
Something
brick.
Else. Yes, you could lay brick.
And then have the black plastic
up against
border
the grass.
Edge. Up right. against the grass. Okay.
Yes. And it's brick is a good idea. Gravel's a good idea because your lawnmower is going to have to go straight up against that border.
Yeah.
And it will save you weed whacking if you've got something that the close edge of the border can be wheeled across with your lawnmower.
Yes, and that is exactly what we're finding is, Forrest will do a lovely job mowing the lawn, but he won't get close to my gardens. And so there's, you know, tall grasses growing all around the garden and it does look sloppy. It doesn't edge it nice.
Right. And edging is part of mowing, but both our husbands don't seem to get that. I ask Kant to mow the lawn and he does a beautiful job. But then there's these places where you can't get the lawnmower in. He's got a riding one. And they're tall grass right up against hedges. And it's like, no, he's got to learn to get that weed whacker. What I should do is get a very strong pair of magnets and put the magnets and onto the lawnmower, riding lawnmower, and attach the weed whacker to it. So that he carries it around with him so he doesn't have to go back and get the weed whacker.
Oh, I like it. Or I was thinking the magnets would be on the fence so that every time he's driving up against it, he goes,
Yeah, that would work.
And he's pulled to drive right along that border.
Right along it. Yes.
I love it. Technology is a beautiful thing.
Beautiful thing.
We're lucky to have it.
Yep. I know. And magnets are my speed.
Magnets. That's the tech.
That's my high technology. That's right.
As far as we've reached.
As far as I've reached. You, on the other hand, you know way more.
I don't know.
So that's the way you edge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hedging is
edging
a little different
than hedging. Got
that's
it.
Right.
Okay.
Hedging is our plants. Do you want to know about that? Like boxwood plants?
Yes, I do. Yeah. So what are some good hedge plants to use? Boxwood is a given. That's the one that you have the dream of carving a miniature elephant into your boxwoods.
I had a dream of carving a life-size elephant in. I mean, if you get a dream big.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. So there's all different kinds of them. And I don't have the names of them right now. So you surprised me with that one. Thanks a lot.
Sorry.
Escalonia. I don't know what'll work in every zone, but I know that boxwood does.
Yeah.
And it's also something that's so damn simple.
Yeah.
Boxwood is so simple. Mm-hmm. I didn't know until I started putting boxwood on my property that there are several different kinds. There's a dwarf boxwood that only grows about 2.5 feet mm-hmm. each mm. way. And then there's regular boxwood, and there's a myriad in between that'll grow 3 and 4 feet like that. And the regular boxwood will grow 8 feet in each direction.
Wow.
Yeah. It'll grow 8 feet tall and 8 feet wide.
Oh
4 feet
God.
In each direction. So when you're hedging, when you're buying boxwood, mm-hmm. you need to understand and know what you're buying. And you need to make sure it's from a reputable source that has marked their boxwood correctly.
So you don't plant dwarf boxwood thinking that it's regular boxwood.
Yeah, you'll be waiting a long time for that thing to reach 8 feet. And here's the other thing. I at one point knew the difference by looking at the leaves, because some leaves are different than others. And I'll go back and and teach you about that when I've done a little review of my own.
Reconnaissance. Yeah.
Yeah. Because they are slightly different.
Huh. Okay.
So
make sure that you get your boxwood from a reputable source. No,
yes.
No back alley boxwood.
No back alley boxwood or boxwood that comes from a container store that might have been very remiss in their tags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And the other thing you can do is if you desperately need them now and you need 40 of them and you need them now and, you know, Home Depot is the only one that's got 40 right available, look at the leaves. Make sure that the leaves are identical.
Oh, that's a great, yeah, that's great advice.
Also, it's really, really nice because, you know, when I was buying these, we didn't have plant software that you could Google. You know, you can Google everything right now. So you can figure out what Korean boxwood will do versus English boxwood versus, you know, all different kinds. And there are all different kinds. So the thing with boxwood is you've got to realize that it will create a shadow wherever you're putting it.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So if you want to grow tulips mm-hmm. in your front yard and want to line them with boxwood, you will never see the tulips from the street.
Yep. Because the boxwood is going to get 8 feet tall if you let it.
Or even if you plant the dwarf boxwood, they're going to get 2.5 feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I planted my peonies with a boxwood hedge mm-hmm. because, and it's just I've got a bed of peonies, irises, and alliums. mm-hmm. And they all grow up more than 2.5 feet. And then they don't look so good.
Right, because they look like they're tiny short flowers rather than these big, beautiful, bushy things that they are.
Or they're just not planting stalks, and they're not planting, you know, they're not blooming stalks, and they're not doing anything pretty for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. So the next thing I'm going to do is throw some zinnia seeds in them this year.
Oh, yeah. Nice and tall.
Yes. Also, I bought some daylilies, which I'm not crazy about, but I thought daylilies because it gets really hot back there. And so I thought daylilies at the back end will keep the peonies cooler. And so we'll see how that goes. But I had to make sure that my boxwood was dwarf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So when you're planting 8-foot boxwood, you want it at the back of your border. Or you want it at the side of the north side of your property.
Garden. Yeah. Yeah.
So that it won't shade anything. It makes a beautiful backdrop. It also makes a beautiful screen for your neighbors to not look in.
I love a natural border. I love a natural hedge. It's always there. I mean, you have to water it, you have to take care of it. There's a chance that it may die, but you'll never have a dispute about a fence with a neighbor. It's just boxwood, you know?
Except if you've planted it too close to the property line he doesn't want boxwood. So you've got to figure in that you've got to put it 4 feet into mm-hmm. your property.
Oh, true. Yeah. So that you don't come home one day and half your boxwood is just sawed off right down the center.
That's right. And also, it's a great place. I mean, I found in a boxwood next to the house a hummingbird nest.
Oh.
Right.
So
next
it's
to
good
the house.
Habitat.
Oh, it's wonderful habitat. It's fabulous habitat. You might even get a hedgehog or two in your neck of the woods.
Oh my! Are hedgehogs native to New York?
I think they're more native to New York than they are Oregon, because I've never seen one here.
That is crazy.
That would
blows
be cool.
My mind.
I wow. know.
I feel
anyway.
Like they're okay. Anyway, this is not a hedgehog hog podcast.
Boxwood likes acid-loving soil. So azaleas, rhododendrons,
hydrangea, right?
Yes, if you like them blue.
Yeah. Yep.
And anything for conifers are acid loving.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And azaleas like acid, because I have azaleas planted under conifers right now.
Yes. And I bet they're doing very well.
But yes, they are. They're starting to bloom. This is the azalea that I... you know.
Yes, you saved.
Rescued. Yes.
What
yes.
color is it?
White right now.
Nice.
I mean, they're just starting. So I've never seen a white azalea.
Oh, yeah. And they're beautiful white because they just pop in the darkness of underneath a tree.
Yeah.
They just pop.
And it's in the vinca border underneath these pine trees. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I'll take
you
pictures when it fully pops. Yeah.
Okay, good. You did very well with that. Good for you.
I know. Thank you. I'm happy with it.
I know She's that a- some listener is going to call you up someday and say, you've got my azalea.
I doubt
and
it. I doubt
and you're going to say, tough. Tough.
Oh, my God. No, it's in a much happier home.
It is in a much happier home than on the side of the road.
Not on
being
the side of
over.
The road. Yeah, exactly. Out of a pot.
Humiliated. Naked.
Humiliated. Oh, poor thing.
Terrible.
I know. It's still just like these three little branches that are curving off to the right. Like, hey, we're hanging in here.
Good. So after
it'll
it's bloomed,
take
Elizabeth, after it's bloomed, Elizabeth, trim it back.
Oh, okay.
And it'll start to get bushy.
Good. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So one of the things I wanted to talk about, and by the way, I would recommend clover in places where you don't want to mow.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to use it for anything other than just back there.
Yeah.
Because I know your yard, you know, you've got a back there place.
We do. We do. We have a lot of back there. We've actually, we've stopped mowing a decent portion of the back there area. And honestly, it's growing in beautifully. Like, you know, I'm keeping an eye on it. But the bees are really happy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of little tiny native flowers back there.
Good.
And, you know, we have a lot of yard space, a
yes.
lot of garden space.
Yes.
It's like way back towards the
That's
fence.
Right.
And it's
and
going
having-
well. Yeah.
And having clover back there is a very nice thing for the bees. It's like a natural habitat.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now you could put a hedge to that area if you wanted. But that's just another thought. That's just a design thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
and you could
do...
put a little hedge, like a small hedge.
Yeah, I like that idea. Because what we do right now is we just have like a little path mowed to the back gate.
Yeah.
And then, you know what, I'm thinking I should have Forrest mow another path to the apple tree, which is in like the very back corner.
Yes.
So that,
Good
you
idea.
Know, we just have, we have this natural section and then just two little paths. That's all you need.
That's a great idea. I would also, if I were you... I would sprinkle some wildflower seeds back there.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
now, will they take if I just sprinkle them?
It depends. Mm-hmm. It depends on how many birds you've got. It depends on if it rains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep the seeds moist. And mm-hmm. what I did with Haunt put wildflower seeds on a strip of highway. Well, not on the highway, but by the side of the highway. And we bought tulle.
Oh, yes.
So it's 3 feet wide.
Yep. Perfect.
It's a yard wide.
Yep.
And, you know, it's 20 feet of it for 89 cents a foot, a yard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 3 feet by 3 feet.
Yeah.
And
that's
you
a lot.
That's a lot. So you sprinkle your seeds and you wet them down and you keep them wet and you throw this tulle over them with maybe a brick on each side to hold the tulle under it, so that you fold the brick under it so that the tulle is just resting above it so they don't, the little baby starts don't get enmeshed in the tulle.
Wait, so the tulle goes over the seeds?
That's right. It goes okay. over the seeds and is a brick and over the brick. And then you fold it under the brick so that it's got
it. So they have space.
So they have a little bit of space so that when the seedlings come up, they're not enmeshed in the tulle. So when you pull the tulle off, it doesn't take the seedlings with it.
Got it. Got it. Yes.
And you could do that today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it would, even if you got, you know, just 20 flowers back there, they'll reseed and they'll start again next year or later on. Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's yeah. a nice idea.
Yeah.
So I want to talk a little bit more about seeds. Where do you keep your seeds, Angel?
I keep, well, the ungrown seeds.
The ungrown seeds.
In packets in my closet. Cool, dark, good. Not good. Damp.
Yeah. Good.
Yep, dry.
Is it in a box? Or is it in
yeah,
a sack?
It's in a like a little basket, like a desk basket that I kind of yeah, just have right yeah. now, and it so that I can stand. I have some slightly yep. open packets that are folded down halfway,
yep, yep.
and they're standing up and yep. clipped with like chip bag clips
yep.
in a little basket. Yeah.
Oh, you've got a lot of chip bag clips. That's what I want for Christmas. I want your chip bag clips and I'll send you some paper clips. There's a fair trade.
Oh, paper clips. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Actually, we don't have any paper clips. We have chip bag clips.
Okay. This is haunt Christmas next year. We're giving them paper clips. Okay. Note to self. you know, the other thing I do is sometimes at night I will write out tags for them.
Mm, yes. Yeah.
And then with the paper clip, I will clip the tags and the paper clip all to the seed packet.
Okay. Yeah.
So that next year I don't have to do that.
Yeah. And it's all together. And there
it's all
you
together.
Go. Yeah.
Now, the other thing I wanted to tell you is after years and years and years of experience, oh my God, exhaustive experience here, I learned that it would be far wiser to buy an alphabet filing cards.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I keep them in alphabetical order in that basket, and the filing cards fit inside the basket.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheap, it's effective, and boy, do I know what I've got when.
And you are so organized. Oh my gosh.
I'm so organized. And I have one for flowers and one for vegetables.
That's a little overwhelming. I'm not going to lie.
Well, peas and beans and corn take up so much room.
Yeah, they do. That's true. That's true.
So, you know... When you get to the point where you're my age, God, I hated it when my mom said that. When you're my age, you'll understand. I was like, screw you, I understand now. I don't want to do it. So eventually, you can have as many baskets of seeds as you need. Mm-hmm. You can have annuals. You can have perennials. You can have trees. You can have whatever the heck you want. You can have one basket for everything right now because you're just starting out and that's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But you recommend a seed filing cabinet.
I do.
That's amazing.
I highly recommend it.
That is groundbreaking gardening right there.
Oh, my God.
Innovative.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Innovative. So immediately in February or December,
oh my
as you're
gosh.
As you're packing up all of your ribbons after Christmas, you pull out your seed basket and you look and you see what you've got in lettuce that you loved last year, but it's too old for this year,
yeah.
or you don't have any more. Sometimes yeah. I put my seed packets back if I loved them.
That makes so much sense. Oh my gosh. And then it's also perfect to like collect and store your old
yes.
seeds from your garden
yes.
that you collected in the fall. Okay.
Exactly. And
all
I
right.
and I
you
have seed
it.
Packets from 1920. which I finally threw away. I have
bet
seed packets
beautiful.
From 1994. I bet they were, but they'll never grow. I mean, I just hold on to seeds. Oh, next year. I'll plant some more next year.
Yes.
You know, like you yeah. plant, you buy a packet of cucumbers and you use three seeds.
Right.
Well, And they grow, and they grew beautifully. And the next year you plant three more and they don't grow as well. You got one out of them. And the next year you get one, and then they're no good.
Yeah.
But do I throw, I don't throw them away. No, no, not me. Because they go in the C's in my file. Just so that you know, it's a really easy way to look up anything. You don't have to go through every seed packet to find out what you don't have.
Yeah. And then also maybe with that story, dating your seed packet. So like when you get it, you write the year on it.
Usually so they're know. Dated.
Oh, they are?
Yes. They're
just
dated.
Goes to show you how much I've looked at my seed packets.
It's fine. It's fine. Because it's important. They date them most of the time by, you know, they'll say to be used for, you know, 2022.
I have seen that. I have seen that, yes.
And what happens is you do three seeds from it, mm-hmm. you know, cantaloupes, watermelons, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You do three seeds from it and you save the rest for next year.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy cantaloupe seeds anymore, right?
Exactly.
Wrong. Well, maybe for 2 or 3 years, yes, and then it starts to get old.
Right, right. But you could save the seeds that you got from that cantaloupe.
Yes.
That you grew. And
that's right.
Weren't you telling me a couple of episodes ago that if you save the seeds that grew in your garden really well, so you have this gorgeous cantaloupe and it just grew so well, so definitely yes. save some of those seeds.
Yes.
It is going to be more attuned to your specific soil.
I
your
did tell
area,
you that,
your
and
climate.
It's true. Yes.
That is magic.
Your
that is
Elizabethness.
Brilliant.
It is. Yeah. And saving those seeds is really nice. Put them on a paper towel.
Yeah.
Mark the paper towel what it is and the date.
Yes.
The okay. day and the year at least. The day, yeah. month, and year. Mark it. And mark what the variety is so that you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I usually bought these little, you can buy glassine little envelopes, little packets. You can buy seed packets that are glassine. They're beautiful.
Huh.
And you put your seeds in there and you put your, they don't have glue on the top.
Right.
So you have to fold them down and you use a paperclip. Huge expenditure. And sometimes I make tags for them for the next year and then I'm ready to go.
Brilliant. Okay. All
and
right.
this is winter work.
Those.
Yes. This is winter work, and winter work can save you hundreds of hours.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, can it? Yeah.
I used to take, you know, 5 minutes to plant the seeds and 20 minutes to write out the dang tags. It made yeah. me so frustrated. And then I thought I should be doing this in November and December and January.
And kind of like a relief, you know, you can write your tags out in the wintertime and be dreaming about the garden.
That's right.
That you're going to plant.
That's right. And also, yeah. that's when the seed magazines, the seed catalogs come.
Yeah.
And so you will be knowing what lettuces you want and what lettuces you already have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's sort of this, you know, seed mind control thing.
Well, you're making your own personal GMOs when you save the seeds that grew really well.
You are. You absolutely are. And there will be seeds that you'll need to study up on, like tomato seeds. You know the goo that comes
yes.
in the tomato seeds?
Yeah.
That's goo that makes them stop from sprouting.
Oh, so you have to wash all that off.
Well, what you have to do is you have to put them on a paper towel and kind of smear them on the paper towel mm-hmm. so that the goo dries.
Mm.
And when the goo dries, then you pick up the seeds from the dried paper towel and put them in a basket and put them in a thing.
Okay, that makes sense. There you go. Yeah. So collecting each seed is a little bit different.
And it can be a little bit different. Some yeah. seeds need a time in the refrigerator.
Huh. Which seeds are those?
Delphiniums.
Oh, yeah.
Lupins.
They're picky.
Lupins need it. There's a whole bunch of seeds like that. Mm-hmm. There's some seeds that actually need to be fired. They need
what?
To go through smoke. Yes.
Oh, like
they're
pine
rare.
Cones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's I mean, but you learn about each seed. You'll have to read up on each seed and what to do and how to save it. But yeah, never just stick a zinnia head in a bag.
Well, first of all, it'll rot and all exactly. your seeds will be done.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So, and you're going to need a place to kind of dry them out and label them and stuff. Mm-hmm. I use the cups on my hutch.
The cups on your hutch.
Yeah, I have a hutch, mm-hmm. a dish hutch.
Yes.
And I have all these cups on them. And yes. inside the cups, because I never use the cups, they're too pretty. Inside the cups, I have a torn piece of scribbled what it is and seeds.
Yeah.
That I've just thrown in there to dry. And some of them are several years old now, so I have no hope for them at all. But I've been sick. But yeah. You always should try them.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Always give them a try. And, you know,
everybody
I mean, if you're
gets
planting,
a chance in my house.
If you're planting older seeds, plant them more thickly. Right.
Yes, exactly. And everybody gets a chance in my house. You never know what could happen.
I love it. I love it. Yes. Everyone gets their turn.
Exactly. And a chance.
So, and a chance.
The other thing to do with half a packet of seeds, or if you use three seeds, is to find other like-minded gardeners who want some of the cucumbers and split it up.
Yes.
And, you know, one year you buy the seeds and the next year she buys the seeds and the next year the third person, whatever. Or you yes. figure out a way to divide it up. That's a really, really, really nice way of doing it, so that you make a note maybe on your C card file for cucumbers mm-hmm. of what the variety was and if you liked it.
Yeah. And I love that, having a gardening buddy that you can, you know.
Yeah.
One person grows zucchini because Lord knows zucchini season is right around the corner where everyone, right. you know, people are going to be begging you to just please just take the zucchini. We're exactly. drowning in zucchini.
Exactly. I mean, I read someplace it was a joke. It was like, if you keep your car window rolled down in town,
yeah.
it's an invitation for zucchini
drive-bys.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yes. Okay, so that's seeds in alphabetical order, and we did that one. And whether... Okay, so... You're going these days, you're going to the nurseries or the yes. garden centers.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be 90 degrees.
Yep.
And pansies are on sale.
Don't buy them.
Don't buy them. They're yep. out of season.
Yeah.
Unless you live in a cave.
Yeah. Unless you have like a really dark, cool area, right?
Right.
Where you can put them.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't okay. buy them. And the things that are going to be the most expensive are the things that are coming on now.
Right.
And your seeds that you've started may be the same. Let's say you planted basil a month and a half ago. Yeah. And so your little basil starts are coming up and you've got 4 or 5 leaves on your starts.
Yeah.
And here comes this basil in the... It, at Home Depot and the,
it looks
the garden stuff.
Huge.
And it's huge.
It's intimidating. I feel like I've done a bad job because I'm looking at my little tiny basil and it's so little. And then the basil that they have is so big.
I know. It's so unfair because they
it
have
is.
Been raised in a greenhouse and started last December. They have been fed to within an inch of their lives, and they yep. just now come out of the greenhouse to sit on the shelves of the garden center in the whatever weather you've got.
And taunt us and make us feel inferior. It is not yes. fair.
And so what I do is I will buy one plant if I absolutely have to have my basil for dinner that night.
Uh-huh. Yes.
One plant. And then I would start to feed with half food. That means Miracle-Gro or manure tea that's very weak, but half portions of it. So if Miracle-Gro says a tablespoon for gallon, I would do a teaspoon for gallon.
Got it.
And I would, if those babies are ready to transplant them up and start feeding them.
Okay.
And yeah. in 90 degree weather, I would put them out.
Yeah.
On a table.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
and let them sit out there. Yes. Yeah. If it gets really cold at night, I can't imagine it getting too cold. What's it down temperatures?
I think it goes down, maybe it'll go down to 48, 45.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
I mean, in the winter, the last couple of nights, I think we've gotten down into like 55. It's really nice. We just open all of our windows up and keep the fan on, and it keeps our house really cool. Shut Good. Them during the day. Yeah. Anyway,
that's nice. I didn't know it was that low. I thought you were going to say in the 70s. Oh, so bring God, no. So bring them in. That's called hardening them off.
Yeah.
Bring them in at night and put them back out during the day.
Yeah.
And let them get used to the wind and the season and the bugs and the heat and the humidity and the direct sunlight and all that yummy stuff that Basil loves.
Yes. Yes.
And in no time, your plants will look like the other ones. But the other ones will have gone to seed.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
So just know that. It's very, very hard going to a garden center and seeing these beautiful petunias and zinnias and cosmos and all these gorgeous things. And you think, dang, I got two leaves on mine.
Yeah.
But you started yours in April. They started theirs in December.
Yeah.
In a heated greenhouse mm-hmm. that cost them a fortune, which is why the basil is $8.99. Man, prices this year are insane.
Oh, my God. Well, insane. It really just speaks to, like, I feel like I have to be seeding things because, you know, I can't buy, like, all of these plants that I want to buy. And believe me, I do buy them.
I know them, honey.
But I can't buy
everyone.
Them.
No. It's okay. Seeding is the way to get a great filled up garden.
Yeah.
Even if you start zinnias today, which I'm thinking of doing, is starting some zinnias soon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I really think that one of the best things you can do is just plant the plants, seed them up, ask fellow growers. I saw that you were out helping a community garden the other day. Did you make contact with people?
Yeah.
They might have some extra seeds that they just are not going to use.
Yeah.
Ask them for them and trade them for some that you've got that you're not going to use more than half the bag.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you can do that. Let me see what else is on the list here. Okay, so you got a weather watch. That was the big thing that I was saying. So, for example, in my neck of the woods now, it's still really cold.
Yeah, you are having a cold. Well, you're more temperate.
I'm loving it.
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm loving it. Last year, we had 80 and 90 degree days. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. The peonies lasted a day.
Oh, how disappointing.
I know. It was really horrible. This year, it's wonderful. It's cool. It gives you more time, but it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's okay because it does give you more time. But I'm not going to go into the store and buy a big old tomato that
right.
I wouldn't spend $10-$15 on a huge tomato right now that had been in a greenhouse all this time to stick out in my cold vegetable bed. That's just not going to work.
No.
She's going to sit there and pout for a month. And in that month, my babies that I've been nursing along here, mm-hmm. outside on my driveway, in the cold, in the sun, in the rain, will be growing in there and used to the weather.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. So watch your weather and make sure that you're kind of prepared for it. For example, this week we're going to have an 85 degree Wednesday.
Oh, my God. Well, that's good.
It is good. And I'm going to have to watch the peonies to make sure they don't just last one day.
Right. So if they do you on that day, do you set up like a black tent to ward sun away?
I have a long roll of shade cloth that I was going to use in my greenhouse. Mm-hmm. And I just put it over the peonies for one day.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That'll do it. Yeah. But it's not fun.
No.
And usually the weather does that. Okay, next thing I wanted to talk to you about that I hadn't been. There's so many things, Elizabeth.
I know.
And some of them are a given for me. You know, when I was learning how to drive, we had the stick shift on the on the driver's column.
Yeah.
On the steering column. And it was not a stick shift. It was an automatic.
The gear change.
Yeah. And so I got in the car with mom, and mom said, okay, turn it on, da, 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 put it into drive. And I said, okay, do I? She said, just put it into drive. And I interrupted her. She didn't want to talk to me, but she just wanted me to go. And I said, mom, do I just pull the gear stick down or do I pull it towards me and down?
Yeah.
And she said, oh, you pull it towards you and down. A given for her, because it just, she'd right. been doing it for so long.
You just
but a
put
16
it in drive.
Year old doesn't know.
No.
So this is one of those things. This is one of those things like that. I should have told you this from the very beginning. Stay out of your garden beds.
Ah, yes.
Do not go in them with your feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have to, if there's in the center a big old ugly thistle thing that you can't reach with one hand on your knees from the outside, that you have to step into the garden, decide your path.
Yeah. Yes.
Put a brick where you're going to step. I mean it. Yeah. Put a brick or a stepping stone, something where you're going to step, and put that step there and get to the weed.
Yeah. Yep.
With no feet tramping. No, none of that. Mm-hmm. You move your feet twice. That's it. Once to get in and once to get around it. Keep your feet still. Pull the damn thing out. Throw it as far away as you can. I like throwing.
Onto your weed tarp that you've been dragging behind you.
Onto your weed tarp. Yeah. Yes. Onto your weed tarp, and then look down at your bricks and step on the brick and jump out.
Yes. Yep.
And then keep that brick there for the next time you need to go into your bed.
Yeah.
And that's your stepping stone into your bed.
Gardening is a gymnastic sport.
It really is. Don't let anybody tell you it isn't. It's massively hard. But
it
do
is.
Not trample... Yeah. Plants need, when I learned to master gardening, was they need sunlight, they need water, yeah. they need soil, mm-hmm. nutrients, mm-hmm. but they also need oxygen.
Oh, yeah, to
if
the
they
root.
Don't, for the root. If they don't get oxygen in their roots, and they wouldn't because you're stepping on them,
yeah.
they die.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So if you can't get around that... And you know I've told you to plant thickly. And sometimes I've put it on top of something I know will spring back.
Yes. Yep.
Or something that I know is dying back, like daffodil tubers.
Yeah.
Daffodil bulbs.
Yeah.
You know, if you have to do that, great. Or you lift up a part of a shrub.
Yeah.
And you put your brick at the outside edges of where you can for that shrub. And then when you go back, mm-hmm. you kind of hoe in that area and lift that soil up and give it a little oxygen lift.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I saw Pat Wheeler do that in her garden.
Yeah.
And we all know Pat Wheeler is a great gardener.
She is a fabulous gardener. Yes.
She is. So stay out of your beds as much as possible. That's why I told you to make 4-foot beds.
Yes. Yeah. And I can reach to every piece of my garden bed without stepping in it. At least
so
my vegetable garden.
Yes.
Yeah. I think with some of the other flower beds that I have.
Yeah.
There's one against the garage. So I can't, because I can't get to the back of it, I would need to put a stepping stone in to get there.
Yeah, and that's perfectly normal.
Yeah.
And you have roses at the back, don't you?
No. So the rose garden is over by the vegetable garden. And then we actually just cleared out the garden, just weeded out the garden by the garage, which is just hosta
nice.
And fern. I know. And they're huge. I mean, they are Jurassic. You go in there,
good.
And actually we have some pictures of like our cats in the ferns and the weeds and everything.
Hiding.
And they look like they're in the jungle. They are jungle cats. It's crazy.
That's wonderful.
Cool. It's cool. But we need some flowers in there. It's a green mess.
Plant some lilies in there.
Yeah. Yes.
Lilies will go well in there. It does get some sun, doesn't it?
A little bit. Yeah. It's mostly a shade garden.
And a stilbe.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Plant some astilbe in there. Mm-hmm. And I'll think of some more things for you.
Okay.
Hydrangea would go well in there.
Oh, that would be so pretty in there. Yes.
And a hydrangea, you know, there's no law that says you have to keep flowers and plants you don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the fern. I think I want to split it up and put it other places, though.
Good.
It's huge. And the hosta, I could move that somewhere else and just never look at it again.
And, or you could sell it.
Or sell it. Yeah. You could trade it for something.
You could trade it for a little hydrangea plant that somebody wants to get rid of.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine anyone wanting to get rid of a hydrangea plant.
Well, some people do. They have too many.
Oh, my God. Call me.
Oh, sweetheart. I wish I was closer. I really do.
Oh, no. No.
Anyway, so think about that for a little while. Maybe, you know, a stilbe is also something that can be divided. It's not the greatest time of year to divide it, but you can do that. And somebody would love a huge hosta.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it is a great plant. So, yeah.
You know, we have a website. Is it a blog haunt? Our town has them and people can talk. Facebook groups.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. You know, I know that you're way past Facebook by now. You know, technically it's.
No, it is a good resource.
Light years away from your technology now. I'm like back in the dark ages, but the Facebook groups are good for sharing stuff and for learning stuff and for having, you know, maybe somebody near you has something you need and they want a hosta.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. The Facebook.
Believe me, you've got the better plant.
Yeah.
The hosta is a treasure to hosta people.
Yeah. Yep.
They're going to ask you what kind, so you might need to Google. You might need to look that up.
Yeah, and I have a variegated hosta, and then I have a couple green hosta, just like plain green hostas.
Okay.
So,
well, you figure out what you want.
Yeah.
You figure out what you want. Okay, so did I tell you about the splinter and tape?
No, I don't think you did.
Okay, so in some mulches and in some, even in some store-bought soil, they're filled with shards of little wood chips and little wood things.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you can get an almost no-see-em splinter.
Eesh.
In your hand, and you look and, you know, under a microscope, maybe you can see it.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get them out because you can't see it. You don't know which way it's going. So one of the things I learned when I was working at a nursery is you get a piece of tape. It can be as weak as Scotch tape. It can be as strong as duct tape.
Huh.
And you put it where the splinter is and you rip it off and the splinter's gone.
Oh, yes. That makes so much sense. You just pull it out and you don't have to see it. You don't have to be fishing around in there. Nice.
That's right. And it's really quick, and so you're going to need tape where your tools are.
That's a good thing to have. And also, duct tape is just a good thing. Yeah, I know.
Duct tape is a miracle. We love duct tape, especially colored duct tape.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Definitely.
Do you have any questions, my sweetheart Angel?
We covered so much. Oh, my gosh. We talked about boxwoods and clover and everything else. I mean,
I think you should start some clover and some wildflower seeds back there. I really do.
I think I will. Yeah, I think I will.
And get something that's kind of short so they don't fall over. I mean, you know, you can get a 3-foot-high zinnia, but there's also 18-inch zinnias, you know, but you have to keep them moist. So in this weather, this 88-degree weather, you might have to water them 3 times a day.
Right. Right. Yeah.
The other thing that you could do is spread a little peat moss. Now, I know that's cheating because everybody doesn't think peat moss is good these days. But if you've got some.
Oh, is that cheating?
The packages that I gave you of dahlias and lilies and
yes,
stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
They come with peat moss. If you spread that little crappy peat moss.
Yeah.
And then got that really, really wet and then planted your seed and then just threw your seeds in that peat moss would keep it wetter.
Oh, that makes so much sense. Yeah.
So you wouldn't have to water quite as often.
Yeah. 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 And I put that peat moss right in with each, yeah, you know, each bulb that I had. Watered them in.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, yeah. Good, good.
But so, and I have a bag of peat moss for, you know, my house plants and other things, mixing that in,
yes,
with everything. Yeah.
Good. So are you planning on taking your house plants outside for the summer?
I am. Yes.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Put them outside. Give them a little life.
And yeah, also make sure that by fall, you'll need to transplant them into something bigger.
Yes. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Give them a little vacation and then they'll need. Oh, look at who we have here.
This is Lily.
Hey,
we
Lily.
We found out. We went to the vet for their, yes, first shots and checkup and found out that Bella is now Bello.
Bello.
He's a boy. We found out we don't have two girls. We have a boy and a girl.
I love Bello. It.
Yeah, so we're watching this Italian thing. So we named him Bello.
I love it. I love it. I know. Oh, what a baby. So cute.
They are adorable. Sweetheart, I love you whole bunches.
I love you whole bunches.
If there's anything else you need to talk to me about, give me a call.
Absolutely. What are you having for dinner?
Ribs.
Ooh.
Stu Landrum would be so proud.
Yum.
I know.
Very good.
I know. Some ribs, some corn, some salad. I'm going to make something with some frozen blueberries.
Oh, that sounds good.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So listen, I saw that raspberries were on your list. We'll talk about raspberries and blueberries and things like that.
Perfect.
We'll talk about that the next time.
We'll talk
Did you
about
already
that next
buy
time.
Them? Did you already buy
no.
them?
No.
Buy golden ones.
Oh, okay.
They're the sweetest.
Yeah. Yes.
If you're going to buy them, buy golden ones.
Yeah, I love the golden ones. Okay. Sounds okay. Good. Cool. Berries next time.
Next time, berries. All right, sweetheart.
All right.
We
love
will,
you.
We will love you. Talk to you soon.
Mwah. Mwah. Bye.
Bye.
Check us out on TikTok at Gardening Related, our website at gardeningrelated.com, and our Instagram at gardening.related. Ask us questions, buy supplies, leave your feedback, and give us some love.
Oh, I like that.